For today, featuring the Bible teaching ministry of Pastor Chuck Smith, founder of the Calvary Chapel Movement. This radio program is a chapter-by-chapter, verse-by-verse study through the entire Bible. And on today's edition of The Word for Today, Pastor Chuck continues his message, The Man After God's Heart, as we pick up in Acts chapter 13, verse 22. And now, with today's study, here's Pastor Chuck.
God is always seeking for a man after his own heart who will do his will. Too many times we have self at the center of our lives, as did Saul. And because self is at the center of our lives, we're interested and more interested in doing our will than we are doing God's will, and we often rebel against the will of God. When it comes to a choice, my will or God's will, too often we take our will over God's. So God was seeking for a man after his own heart. During the time of Ezekiel, he declares, and God sought for a man among them who would stand in the gap, who would fill in the hedge, but he found none. How tragic. God searching for a man after his own heart, who would do his will. In the time of Ezekiel, he could not find any. But not so at this period of history. God found one, even David. And so Paul declares, and God found David, a man after his own heart, who would do his will. Not a man who is perfect. God can't find him. He doesn't exist. But a man who will put God at the center of his life, and when the issue arises and the showdown comes, the man will choose the will of God over his own. A man who will do God's will is the man after God's heart. So I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. Of this man's seed. Now you see, Paul is rehearsing their history a bit, but he's coming to Jesus. And so he takes now a big leap. He comes to David in a very brief survey of their history. And as soon as he comes to David, he leaps frogs over to Jesus. For to David, God said, of this man's seed, God, according to his promise, raised unto Israel a Savior, Jesus. At the time in David's career, when he decided to build the temple for the Lord, he came to Nathan the prophet and he said, you know, I've got a desire to build a house for God. It's got to be glorious. Here I'm dwelling in this beautiful palace. God's still living in a tent. That's not right. God should be living in the greatest building that man could erect. And I'm going to build a house for God, and it shall be glorious. And Nathan said, great, David, do all that is in your heart. But that night, the Lord came to Nathan the prophet and said, Nathan, you spoke too quickly. And you've got to go back now and tell David that I can't have him building me a house. His hands are too bloody. But you tell him, I will build him a house. Because I took him out of the sheepcote from following after the sheep, and I made him the king over my people. And from his seed, there will sit one on the throne of Israel forever. That is, the Messiah will come from David. So Nathan came back to David the next morning and said, David, I've got some bad news and some good news. Bad news first. You can't build a house for God. Your hands are too bloody. But the good news, God's going to build you a house, David. And from your seed, there will be one who will sit upon the throne of Israel forever. David knew exactly what God was saying. The Messiah is going to come from my lineage. And David went in before the Lord. And he said, oh God, I was a nobody. I was just a kid out there in the hills of Bethlehem following after the sheep. And you took me from that sheep coat and you made me the ruler over your people. You've done so much for me, God, already. And now you speak of the time to come, the Messiah, the King. Oh, God, what can I say? And David, the man of words, was speechless. So wiped out was he by the grace of God. And those, I think, are some of the greatest experiences in my own life when I've been wiped out by the grace of God and I become speechless. You know, what can you say? God, you're so good. Oh, Lord, I can't believe it. There are no words to express your feelings of gratitude and thanksgiving and all for all that God has done. Speechless before God, a good place to be. Savonarola said, when prayer reaches its ultimate, words are impossible. When praise reaches its ultimate, words are impossible. You just can't, you know, you just open up the spirit and just let it flow. Just there in silence before God in the deep communion of the spirit, wiped out by grace. And so Paul makes mention that God has promised that from David the Messiah is going to come. He leapsfrog now to the Messiah. Of this man's seed, God, according to his promise, raised unto Israel a Savior, Jesus. And when John had first preached before his coming the baptism of repentance to all of the people of Israel, and as John fulfilled his ministry, he said, whom do you think that I am? I'm not he. But behold, there's coming one after me whose shoes of his feet I'm not worthy to untie. Men and brethren, Paul is now addressing them. Men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, and whosoever among you that fears God, to you is the word of this salvation sent. God has kept his promise. God has sent the Messiah. He sent the forerunner, John the Baptist, and he has sent the Messiah, who is Jesus. For they that dwell at Jerusalem and their rulers, because they knew him not, nor yet the voices of the prophets which are read every Sabbath day, they have fulfilled the prophecies in condemning him. Now, though they have the prophets read to them every day, yet they didn't really know the prophets, and they fulfilled the word of the prophets. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrow, acquainted with grief. And they rejected him, fulfilling the prophecies concerning him. And though they found no cause of death in him, yet they desired Pilate that he would be slain. And when they had fulfilled all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree. Psalm 22 has now been fulfilled. Isaiah 52 and 53 have been fulfilled. When they had completed the prophecies of the scripture, they took him down from the tree and they laid him in a sepulcher. But God raised him from the dead. This is the only full sermon of Paul the Apostle that we have. Interesting sermon. Remember, as we pointed out in Peter's sermon on the day of Pentecost, the central theme was the resurrection of Jesus. And so with Paul's sermon, working towards the resurrection. Because if thou shalt confess with thy mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. The belief in the resurrection of Jesus Christ is essential to salvation, because a dead Savior can save no man. Resurrection is essential to salvation, and thus they always came around to the central theme of the message, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, which proved his deity, which proved the validity of his atoning death. And he was seen many days of them which came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are his witnesses unto this people. And we declare unto you the gospel, the glad tidings, how that the promise which was made unto the fathers, God has fulfilled the same unto us, their children, in that he raised up Jesus again, as it is also written in the second psalm, Thou art my son, this day I have begotten thee. And as concerning that he raised him up from the dead, now no more to return to corruption, he said on this wise, I will give you the sure mercies of David. Wherefore he also said in another psalm, Thou shalt not suffer thine holy one to see corruption. For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell on sleep and was laid with his fathers and saw corruption. But he whom God raised again saw no corruption. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. So Paul is really getting into his message, quoting the scriptures to them, showing them from the Psalms the promises of the resurrection, the body not seeing corruption. This David could not be speaking of himself because his own body did see corruption, but not so with Jesus. God raised him from the dead, and through him we are preaching to you the marvelous possibility of the forgiveness of sins. Man's greatest need can be fulfilled in Jesus Christ, because your greatest need is the forgiveness of sins. Because you cannot have oneness or fellowship with God apart from the forgiveness of sins. And so preaching unto them the possibility of man becoming one with God through the forgiveness of sins available through Jesus Christ, because he fulfilled the prophecies, he died and he rose again. And by him, all that believe are justified from all of the things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. He is superior to the law. Through him you can have justification, something the law cannot offer you. But those who believe in him are justified. So Paul's favorite theme, justification by faith, which of course we have covered quite thoroughly through our study in the book of Romans. But Paul gets to this theme. He loves the theme of justification by faith. Beware therefore lest that come upon you which is spoken of in the prophets, that you're not as those of whom the prophets spoke, Behold, ye despisers, and wonder and perish, for I work a work in your days, a work which you shall in no wise believe, though a man declare it unto you. And so when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles begged that these words might be preached to them on the next Sabbath day. And now when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and the religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who spoke to them and persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. And this is the problem that they had in Galatia, though, continuing in the grace of God. And when Paul wrote his epistle later on to the Galatians, he said, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should so soon turn from the grace of God? Having begun in the Spirit, are you going to be made perfect in the flesh? And the very things that they exhorted them to do is the things they didn't do. You know, God doesn't waste words with us. And so many times we feel, well, God, you don't need to tell me about that. I know that. I don't have any problem there, Lord. You don't have to, you know, speak to me about that. But God doesn't waste words. And you can be sure if God speaks to you about something, that's the very place where you're going to be running into some problems. God knows this better than we know ourselves. And God doesn't waste words with us. He deals with issues that he knows. Though we may feel it is unnecessary, it's usually in that very area where we fail. So with them. Continue in the grace of God, but they didn't. Now the next Sabbath day, almost the whole city came together to hear the word of God. Man, word got around and everybody had come out. And when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with jealousy. And they spoke against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. And then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold, and they said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you. But seeing you have put it from you, and you have judged yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. So they had brought the gospel to the Jew first, but having been rejected, they now turn to the Gentiles. Paul said to Romans 1:16, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, the power of God unto salvation to those that believe, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Paul usually followed this pattern, taking it to the Jew first, in order that they might have the opportunity to reject it and then carrying it to the Gentiles. They had judged themselves. A man judges himself, as you judge Jesus Christ. Pilate said, what shall I do with Jesus who is called Christ? He made his judgment. But in reality, he was judging himself. That question of Pilate is one that every man faces. Every one of you must face the question, what am I going to do with Jesus? I mean, every one of you must face that question. That isn't for Pilate exclusively. That's your question. What are you going to do with Jesus who is called Christ? You must judge yourself what you are going to do with him. But in reality, in judging him to be either the Son of God or not the Son of God, the Savior or not the Savior, in reality, you are judging yourself. Because you are the one whose destiny will be determined by your decision. Your decision concerning Jesus won't change his destiny at all. What he is and will always be. But your destiny is determined by what you do with Jesus. Paul said, since you've judged yourself unworthy of everlasting life, we're going to the Gentiles. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that you shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad, and they glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. What a fascinating scripture. We've dealt with the subject of predestination as we were going through Romans chapter 8. And here we find it. As many as were ordained unto eternal life believed. And the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. But the Jews stirred up devout and honorable women and the chief men of the city, and they raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them out of their coast. But they shook off the dust of their feet against them, and they came to Iconium, and the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. They are sort of companions. Filled with joy is to be filled with the Spirit, or to be filled with the Spirit is to be filled with joy. So they next record for us the work in Iconium and at Lystra, but this is all the area, the whole area known as Galatia. And so it's sort of like Orange County, but you've been to Anaheim and Fullerton and Garden Grove and Santa Ana and Newport Beach. You're in the area of Orange County. So in writing the letter, he addresses the letter to the Galatians, the whole area, though they had ministered in many different churches in this region, or they had established many churches in this region. And next week we will move on to their continued ministry there in that area. So much for us to ponder as we go back over now in our minds the Word of God that we've studied tonight. Our ministry unto the Lord, our service to God. Am I a man after God's heart? Do I have God at the center of my life, or is myself at the center of my life? When it comes to a showdown, will I do my own will over God's? Will I reject the way of the Lord as did Saul? Will I rebel against the commandment of God and do my own thing? Or will I, as David, yield unto God? And when God calls to attention my guilt, confess my sin and repent and seek the mercy and grace of God. Have I received the forgiveness of sins? What have I done with Jesus, who is called Christ? I've judged myself, but how have I judged myself? Worthy or unworthy to receive everlasting life? Have I been ordained unto eternal life by believing in Jesus? A lot to think about, a lot to ponder.
We'll return with more of our verse-by-verse Bible study in the book of Acts on our next broadcast as Pastor Chuck continues to teach through the Bible, and we do hope you'll make plans to join us. This message has been provided to you by the generous supporters of The Word for Today. For additional information about how you can support this ministry, please visit us online at thewordfortoday.org. There you'll find free message downloads from Pastor Chuck, as well as links to our podcast and other resources to help you grow in your Christian walk. You can also call us at 1-800-272-9673, or you can order a physical copy of today's message by mentioning Acts 13. Again, that phone number is 1-800-272-9673. Our office hours are 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. If you prefer to write, our mailing address is P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. Join us again next time as Pastor Chuck continues his verse-by-verse study through the Bible. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today. And now, once again, here's Pastor Chuck.
And may the Lord be with you this week as you think about these things. As you think about your relationship with God. As you think about what God wants you to be and what God wants you to do. May the Lord be with you to guide you and to direct you and to help you through this week, strengthening you, giving you wisdom, giving you powers and abilities by His Spirit to serve Him effectively, that you might bring glory unto His name. God bless you, be with you and keep you in the love of Jesus Christ.
The Word for Today resource, The Gospel According to Grace, is a commentary on the book of Romans. God's grace is fully demonstrated in the work of Jesus Christ, His suffering, death, resurrection, and ascension. Only this grace can save a man from the wrath of God. The Gospel According to Grace clearly proclaims the truths of God found in the book of Romans. To know His grace is to know the abounding love that He has for mankind, and to know and receive the love of God is to be truly born again. You can order this book and study guide at twft.com or by calling 1-800-272-9673. I'm your host, Kathy Parrish. Thanks for listening.
Little country church on the edge of town. People coming every day from miles around, for meetings and for songs. It's not the way it used to be.
This program is sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.